This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Welcome to today's deep dive. For you listening today, our mission is to really unpack a massive, highly detailed briefing on this rapidly shifting landscape of AI, robotics, and semiconductors.
Yeah, it is a massive briefing.
It really is. And we are looking at the exact state of global technology as of tomorrow, July 9, 2026. This source material was provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim, and honestly, it fundamentally challenges how we understand the whole tech economy.
Right. It basically flips the conventional wisdom on its head.
Exactly. So, okay, let's unpack this. Usually, you know, we think of the global tech industry as this beautifully complex spider web, right?
Sure. Yeah. Like you buy a phone in Berlin, the screen was engineered in Seoul, the silicon chip was printed in Taipei.
Right. And the software was coded in Silicon Valley, and then the whole thing was assembled in Shenzhen. It's all connected.
And for decades, I mean, that deep interdependence was the comforting reality. We just assumed the global supply chain was simply too complex, you know, and too economically vital to ever truly untangle.
But based on this briefing, that paradigm is entirely dead. I mean, the standard narrative you probably hear on the news is that the United States is playing defense, right?
Right.
Blocking advanced chip exports to keep China from catching up.
Yeah, that's the headline everyone knows.
But the ground is moving so fast that this view is just, well, it's completely outdated. The spider web isn't just fraying. It is being violently ripped right down the middle.
Yeah. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, we really have to look at the core thesis presented by the report's commentator, former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim.
Right. What does he say about it?
Well, he points out that we are fundamentally entering an era of a two-way blockade. So the United States is aggressively closing the door on hardware, yes. But in response, China is now actively closing the door on software.
Wow. So it goes both ways now.
Exactly. What we are witnessing is this forced, total vertical decoupling of the entire global tech stack. We are moving into two completely isolated parallel universes.
And I mean, to really understand how radical this is, we have to start with the software side of this new Iron Curtain, right? The code wars.
Yeah, the software side is moving incredibly fast.
It is. Mm. The sources reveal a major move here. China's Commerce Department is currently considering restricting foreign access to their advanced domestic AI models.
Which is a huge deal.
Yeah, they've been holding these closed-door meetings with tech giants like Alibaba, ByteDance, and Z.AI. And they aren't just talking about blocking a commercial website. They are actually discussing restricting access to open-source weights.
Right, and that has a staggering economic footprint. For those who might not know, when a company releases a model's weights, they aren't just sharing like a recipe.
It's more than just code.
Much more. They are sharing a fully baked brain. The weights are basically the billions of underlying mathematical connections the AI formed during its training phase.
Okay, so if you have those weights,
if you have them, you don't need to spend millions of dollars and months of supercomputer time training an AI from scratch. You just download the brain and start building your app on top of it.
Right, which completely explains why this potential restriction is so devastating. Over the last year, thousands of startup developers in Europe, Southeast Asia, and especially South Korea, they've built their entire business models around these Chinese open weight models.
Yeah, models like DeepSeek or GLM 5.2.
Exactly. They use them because they're incredibly powerful and drastically cheaper to run than Western alternatives. So if this restriction goes through, those developers might wake up tomorrow and find their API access just completely severed.
Their products would just stop working instantly.
Just gone. Boof.
And it creates this environment of total absolute mistrust. I mean, we are seeing this decoupling happen at the corporate level in a really dramatic fashion.
Yeah, the Alibaba situation.
Exactly. As of July 10th, Alibaba is completely banning the use of Anthropic's Claude code for all of its developers. They are actually ordering employees to switch to a domestic alternative called Coder.
Wow. And even Z.AI is capitalizing on this, right?
Yeah, they're releasing a new tool called Z-Code Harness, running on their GLM 5.2 model. They are explicitly positioning it as the Claude code killer because it operates at like a fifth of the cost of Claude Opus 4.8.
And, you know, the story behind why Alibaba actually issued that ban, it reads like a corporate spy thriller.
It really does. It's wild.
Yeah. So according to the sources, a recent U.S. Senate letter revealed that there were 28.8 million uses of Claude generated through 25,000 fake accounts.
Right. And the suspicion there was that these accounts were being used for distillation.
Basically, these smaller Chinese models were asking Claude millions of complex questions to learn its behaviors. Right, so they could mimic its outputs without having to do the hard work of initial training.
Exactly. It's essentially AI plagiarism on an industrial scale.
So to stop this, Anthropic embedded a hidden China detection code inside their software.
And the mechanics of that detection are just fascinating, because when you are dealing with APIs and thousands of automated queries, you can't always rely on IP addresses, right?
Because they can just use a VPN or something.
Exactly. VPNs easily mask that. So instead, you look for behavioral tripwires, you analyze the latency of the request, the specific routing hops the data takes, or you even embed these subtle digital watermarks in the text outputs.
Ah, so if a competing model trains on that watermark data?
Yes, it occasionally regurgitates a specific phrase or a token that proves it stole your homework, basically.
That's brilliant. But obviously, once Alibaba discovered Anthropic was actively monitoring for this inside their ecosystem, the trust just evaporated instantly.
Completely gone.
So Alibaba ordered the deletion of all Anthropic models, Sonnet, Opus, Fable, everything. It really shows that geopolitical tension has trickled all the way down to the basic coding assistance developers use every single day.
Yeah, the basic tools of the trade are being weaponized.
Even creative tools are splitting. The sources note ByteDance is launching Seedance 2.5, which apparently generates 30-second 4K videos in a single pass.
Right, and Hollywood studios are publicly lobbying for regulations against these tools while, you know, quietly utilizing them in private production.
Of course they are. It really feels like we are moving from a splinternet to a splint AI.
That is actually a really apt way to describe it.
But this brings up a mechanical contradiction that I just keep getting stuck on. I mean, if China locks away its software and the U.S. locks away its advanced hardware, how is China physically running these massive compute-hungry AI models without the latest American chips?
Right. That is the pivotal question of this entire briefing. And the answer is that China isn't just waiting around. They are aggressively building a completely self-sufficient hardware ecosystem from the silicon up.
And the proof of that autonomy is documented right here in the report with Mercon's Longcat 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 1.6 trillion parameter model,
which is an unbelievably massive neural network.
Right. And the briefing confirms it was trained entirely on 50,000 domestic Chinese ASIC chips, no NVIDIA, no AMD, and it actually beat OpenAI's GPT 5.5 on the SWE Bench Pro software engineering benchmark.
Yeah, and to really appreciate the scale of that achievement, we need to clarify what an ASIC is. It stands for Application-Specific Integrated Circuit.
Okay, so how is that different from a normal chip?
Well, a normal computer processor, a CPU, is like a Swiss Army knife. It can run a spreadsheet, play a video game, browse the web. It's versatile, but it's not perfectly optimized for any single thing.
Got it.
An ASIC, on the other hand, is like a highly specialized surgical scalpel.
Mm.
It is hardwired at the microscopic level to do exactly one type of complex mathematical operation billions of times a second.
Which makes it incredibly efficient for AI training, right?
Exactly. And that proves their strategy is operational. It's not just theoretical anymore.
Yeah, and DeepSeek is following suit.
Okay.
The briefing mentions they aren't just a software lab anymore. They are actually designing their own 7-nanometer inference chips and negotiating with SMAC, China's leading semiconductor foundry, to manufacture them.
You have to notice the specific focus there on inference chips. In the AI world, you have two main phases, right? Training and inference.
Right.
Training is when the AI reads the entire internet and learns the patterns. That takes massive brute force. But inference is what happens when you, the end user, ask the AI a question and it actually generates an answer based on what it learned.
And the briefing explicitly notes that inference makes up like 70% of all AI computing demand today. So by targeting inference, DeepSeek is going after the biggest slice of the pie, basically aiming to reduce the reliance on both NVIDIA and domestic heavyweights like Huawei.
Yeah, but we really have to look closely at Huawei's next move. Because while companies like DeepSeek are seeking independence, Huawei is actively rewriting the entire global hardware map.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Huawei isn't confining itself to the domestic Chinese market anymore.
No, they are expanding.
Exactly. Their new Ascend 950 DT chip is deploying to the cloud in August, but they are planning a Q4 entry into South Korea. They are partnering with a distributor called SK Shieldus to supply these chips directly to Korean cloud and AI companies.
And the hardware specs completely explain why this is so disruptive. The Ascend 950 DT features a memory bandwidth of 4 terabytes per second.
Which is huge.
Huge. But more importantly, its inference performance is reportedly 2.87 times faster than NVIDIA's H20 chip.
And just for context, the H20 is the specific downgraded export-compliant chip. NVIDIA is legally allowed to sell in that region, right?
Exactly. So Huawei's chip is almost 3 times faster, and they're offering it at 1/4 of the price.
Almost 3 times the speed for 1/4 of the price. I mean, if you are a South Korean cloud provider trying to stay competitive, that is an offer you are heavily, heavily incentivized to take.
Yeah, which brings in a crucial piece of analysis from lawyer Kyungjin Kim. He points out that this expansion is a massive diplomatic test.
Oh, absolutely.
Because South Korea is a key ally to the United States. So if South Korean infrastructure companies start integrating Huawei hardware deeply into their data centers, just because the economics are undeniable, how will the United States react?
The Korean government is going to have to manage just an incredible amount of geopolitical friction.
It's going to be a diplomatic nightmare.
And if South Korea is becoming ground zero for this hardware turf war, you can see the immediate financial shockwaves hitting their domestic champions. Let's look at Samsung. They just announced a preliminary Q2 operating profit of 89.4 trillion won.
Which is just a mind-blowing number.
It is a 19-fold increase year over year. A literal world record, driven entirely by the demand for AI server memory like HBM and DDR5.
And you know, those memory technologies are really the unsung heroes of this whole AI boom. HBM, which stands for high bandwidth memory, is fascinating.
How does it work? Exactly.
Well, imagine a standard computer memory chip as a single-story parking garage. Data has to drive up and down these long ramps to get to the processor, which takes time.
Right, it's slow.
HBM, though, stacks multiple memory chips vertically, like a skyscraper. And then it drills thousands of microscopic elevator shafts straight down through the layers directly into the processor.
Oh, wow. So it creates like a multi-lane superhighway for data.
Exactly. Which is absolutely essential when an AI chip is chewing through gigabytes of information every single second.
It is brilliant engineering. And obviously, it is generating historic profits. But here is the paradox in the briefing. The very day Samsung announced this record-shattering profit, their stock dropped 6.9%.
Yeah, the market reaction was brutal.
I mean, if the profits are literally unprecedented, why would the market punish them? It really makes you wonder if we are seeing the peak of the AI bubble.
Well, you have to remember, markets don't price in the past, right? They price in forward-looking anxiety. And former lawmaker Kyungjin Kim outlines this beautifully by identifying Korea's triple risk.
Triple risk. Okay, break that down.
So the first risk is exactly what we just covered, the impending diplomatic blowback from Huawei entering the Korean market.
Okay, so Korea is politically squeezed by Huawei. What's the second?
The second is their stock market is deeply top-heavy. The briefing notes that Samsung and SK Hynix now make up a dangerous 50% of the entire KOSPI index market cap.
Wow, half the market is just two companies.
Right. And the third risk, the final shoe to drop, has to be the software blockade we started with. Because if Korean developers lose access to those efficient Chinese open weights, the whole innovation ecosystem stalls.
So that is the triple risk. The whole national economy is incredibly vulnerable if any one of those three pillars cracks.
It is a very precarious balancing act. And it really highlights the sheer scale of the capital at stake here. I mean, Tomorrow, July 10th, SK Hynix is listing a $29 billion ADR on the NASDAQ.
Just massive.
Yeah, making their stock easily tradable on U.S. exchanges. It is actually the largest ADR listing for a foreign company in history. It's designed to raise massive capital to build advanced packaging fabs.
But the broader market is violently volatile right now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Look at Cambricon, a major Chinese AI chip maker. They hit a 1 trillion RMB market cap, and then they lost 140 billion RMB in value over just 2 days due to valuation fears.
It's a roller coaster. And you really see the fragility of the physical supply chain when you look at the tiny components supporting these data centers.
Yeah.
There is an incredible detail in the sources about MLCCs, multi-layer ceramic capacitors.
Yeah, the MLCC shortage is becoming a real bottleneck.
For those listening, these are tiny components that regulate voltage on circuit boards. And the briefing notes that an AI server requires 2 to 4 times more MLCCs than a traditional server.
And the mechanism behind that massive demand is just pure physics. AI chips draw sudden, massive spikes of raw power when they perform intense calculations.
Right.
And if that electricity flows unchecked, it can literally melt the motherboard or cause the voltage to drop elsewhere, which crashes the whole system.
So what do the MLCCs actually do?
They act like tiny dams holding back a raging river of electricity. They store the electrical charge and release it perfectly steadily, basically acting as shock absorbers for the server.
And because the demand for these tiny dams is vastly outstripping supply, the market is behaving erratically. Murata, a major manufacturer, just raised prices for the third time this year. In the Huaqiangbei electronics market in Shenzhen, spot prices for high-capacity capacitors are literally updating every 30 minutes.
It's frantic, but you know, all of this infrastructure, the silicon, the capital, the billions of lines of code, none of it is confined to data centers anymore. This wave of investment is actively spilling out of the digital realm and into the physical world.
Oh, right.
We are firmly entering the era of embodied AI.
The robot army. The numbers here from the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology are staggering. China expects to produce over 100,000 humanoid robots in the year 2026 alone.
And we aren't talking about lab prototypes doing backflips in a controlled environment anymore.
Right, these aren't just tech demos.
No, we are talking about large-scale, real-world deployments modifying traditional labor.
Yeah, the briefing mentions the state grid, the massive power utility over there. They are deploying 8,500 robots across their infrastructure right now. That includes 5,000 robotic dogs, 3,000 wheeled robots, and 500 fully humanoid robots tasked with maintaining the power grid.
It's just incredible scale.
And even more striking, UbiTech has deployed their Walker S2 humanoid robot to the Fengchengang port at the China-Vietnam border. It's physically conducting border patrol and customs inspections.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. That means this embodied AI has to process multiple languages in real time, recognize complex visual anomalies in cargo, and operate continuously in an uncontrolled outdoor environment.
Yeah, and when physical infrastructure and international border security are being handed over to embodied AI, it is a clear signal that the market has validated the technology.
Absolutely.
And the financial markets are aggressively backing it, too. Look at Unitree. They are a company holding over 60% of the global market for quadruped robots, right?
Or robot dogs.
Right? They got their Star Market IPO approved in a record 104 days, seeking a $5.9 billion valuation. Another company, Agibot, just rolled its 15,000th robot off the assembly line. The production timelines are shrinking exponentially.
It really feels like we are watching a biological evolution play out in the industrial sector. For years, you know, all the effort was focused on building the brain, the chips, the language models. Now they are rapidly mass producing the physical body to carry that brain around.
That's a great way to look at it.
And the infrastructure is adapting to support it, too. Eight government ministries just released a roadmap aiming to deploy 50,000 dedicated 5G networks by 2030, specifically designed to integrate these AI agents and digital twins into factory production environments.
And the necessity of 5G there is critical, because if a robot is navigating a busy factory floor, the brain processing the complex visual data might actually live on a server in the next room.
Oh, because a humanoid body can't physically carry the battery required to power an AI supercomputer all day.
Exactly. It's too heavy and power hungry. So 5G provides that ultra low latency required so the server can talk to the robot's limbs in milliseconds, preventing it from walking into a wall or, you know, dropping a heavy payload.
Makes total sense.
But as this physical footprint expands, governments are desperately trying to assert control over it all.
Which brings us to a massive regulatory reality check happening in just 6 days. On July 15th, a new set of regulations called the AI Anthropomorphism Service Management Methods goes into effect in China.
That's quite a title.
Yeah, it basically means rules governing AI that acts or behaves in a manner that is just too human. They require strict anti-addiction systems, mandatory usage notifications, and instant kill switches for AI agents.
And you know, the corporate response to this is highly revealing. Well, in many Western markets, we kind of assume tech giants will fight regulation, right? They'll look for legal loopholes or simply absorb the fines as a cost of doing business.
Right, like a parking ticket.
Exactly. But in this instance, companies are completely retreating.
Yeah, the sources show giants like ByteDance operating the Doubao platform and Alibaba with Quen. They aren't even attempting to comply with the new TC260 AI ethics guidelines.
They're just giving up on it.
Instead of complying, they are permanently shutting down their custom AI agent features. They are literally telling users to export their data before it is permanently deleted.
Wow. But you know, the technical reality is that complying with these rules is nearly impossible based on how neural networks are actually built.
Why is it so hard to just follow the rules?
Because a large language model isn't written in standard code where a programmer can just find the line that says be addictive and delete it. It is a massive black box of statistical probabilities. Trying to retroactively wire an instant kill switch or, you know, surgically amputate a specific behavioral trait often unravels the entire model's underlying logic.
It just breaks the whole thing.
Right. So rather than risk the extreme consequences of noncompliance, they're just burning the product to the ground.
Which poses a deep question for you listening to consider. Does this kind of heavy-handed regulation stifle AI innovation by forcing companies to kill popular products? Or does it actually force developers to build fundamentally safer, better understood, and highly controlled models from day one, while the rest of the world just continues to operate like a technological Wild West?
It is a massive societal experiment playing out in real time, and the consequences are going to shape the global economy for decades.
They really are. So as we wrap up, let's take a moment to look at the incredible scope of this deep dive. I mean, we started with the digital Iron Curtain, right?
Mm-hmm.
China threatening to block open source software weights while Alibaba fundamentally bans Claude over a digital tripwire.
We covered a lot of ground.
We really did. We examined the sheer brute force of Longcat 2.0 being trained on domestic ASICs and Huawei completely undercutting the hardware market in South Korea. We tracked the financial shockwaves from SK Hynix's massive ADR to the soaring demand for MLCC capacitors. And we watched thousands of humanoid robots step onto international borders, all while regulators are scrambling to enforce the ultimate kill switch.
And I think lawyer Kyungjin Kim provides a final crucial assessment here to really ground us.
What's his takeaway?
He points out that the next 2 weeks will act as the defining crucible for the industry. Between the massive SK Hynix NASDAQ listing tomorrow and the World AI Conference kicking off in Shanghai in exactly 8 days, which features over 1,100 companies, this brief window will definitively chart the course for global technology for the rest of the year.
The global spiderweb isn't just broken, it's gone. Two entirely new webs are being spun simultaneously, completely isolated from each other. Which leaves me with a final thought I really want you to mull over as you go about your day. If the United States and China actually succeed in this vertical decoupling, if they build two completely separate, fully integrated AI ecosystems, mm-hmm. from the raw silicon pulled out of the earth to the proprietary code written on the screens to the robots walking the streets, what happens when those two different AI realities inevitably have to interact with each other in the global market?
That is a fascinating question.
Right. Will we reach a point where we need AI translators, not just to parse language, but to bridge the gap between two entirely different machine versions of the truth?
Man, that is a profound and slightly unsettling implication to consider.
Indeed it is. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep questioning the world around you. Keep looking for the connections. And we'll see you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.